Questions. Neighborhood pizza joint, the one Reinhold favors. Vinny's, sure. It's always Vinny's. What's he get, routinely? Sorry, he said as he scrubbed his hands over his face. Didn't get much sleep. Pepperoni, onions, mushrooms, green peppers. Okay, favorite sports teams? Yankees all the way. We used to go around, because I'm a Mets fan, and not baseball. Arena ball, football, basketball, something in season. Football. Giants. Dug in, Giants fan. He's not big on arena or round ball. Okay, hangouts. Arcades, clubs, delis, whatever. We'd mostly hit Jangles in Times Square. It's worth the ride. Then maybe grab a brew if we were flush enough at Tappet. It's right on Broadway between 45th and 46th. Jangles has tourneys. Jerry always scraped up the scratch to enter. He nearly won once, too, but Bruno nipped him out. Pissed Jerry off big. Bruno who? Oh. Mal's eyes widened. His face paled. God, I didn't think of him before. I don't know his name. Bruno's his game tag. Big guy. Just a kid, though. Maybe 18. Freaking game wizard. Anything else you can think of? Routines? Favorites? Usuals? Pistachio float from Gregman's, a neighborhood place. He's been hooked on them since we were kids. Oh, and, Lucille. He glanced around, lowered his voice. I didn't think of her before either. If I so much as think of an LC with Ma in the room, she'll know it. She's got that power. Having met his mother, Eve didn't doubt it. He frequents an LC named Lucille? Well, see, all of us did. This is embarrassing. Murder trumps embarrassment. Yeah, it does. See, she used to give us a group raid on BJ's. Me, Jerry, Joe, Dave. Back when we were 16, 17, like that. Jerry, and look, I didn't know about this until after, but you don't rat out your friends anyway. He stole some money from his mother and paid Lucille for a full ride. I'm pretty sure it was his first. Like when he was around 18. I know Joe ragged on him some about being a virgin, and Jerry said how Lucille had done him all the way. You all still hire her? No, man. His ears went a little pink, and he took another wary glance behind him. I don't, and Dave doesn't, not that I know of. But I'm pretty sure Joe and Jerry still see her sometimes. Where's Lucille? She used to hang around Avenue A, back when she had a street license, but she got her own place and upped her license. I'm not real sure, but maybe she's still in Alphabet City. I haven't seen her, you know, since I was about 18. It was just too weird having the same LC do all of us. Okay. Just give me a basic idea on her. How old? Race? I think she's not much more than me, like maybe 27, 28, like that. Mixed. I think black and Asian. She's really nice looking. Or was. Okay, thanks. Anything or anyone else comes to mind, contact me. Sure. Lieutenant, Dave and I, and Jim, Dave's brother, we did a sweep of the neighborhood last night. We didn't see him or talk to anybody who has. Trying to do my job, Mal? No, really, no. Dave and I, we just had to get out of the house for a while, and we stuck together. We're all sticking together. Keep doing that, Eve advised. The conversation nearly took her to Klein's building. As she navigated the rest of the route, she contacted Charles Monroe. Instead of the slickly handsome sex expert, the pretty blonde doctor he married came on the link. Hi, Dallas. Hey, Louise. I thought I tagged Charles. You did. His link was here on the counter and he's making me breakfast. Sorry to interrupt. No problem, and his hands are free again. We're looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Seeing everyone. Here's Charles.
Morning, Lieutenant Sugar.
Charles, just a quick question. Do you know, or can you find out, about an LC who started street level maybe 10 years ago, and young when she did, probably just legal? Goes by Lucille.
Seriously?
I've got a little more. Mixed race, probably black, Asian, Avenue A turf back at the start, then moved up, but likely stayed in the same area. And before you ask, no, I don't know how many LCs work Alphabet City, but I figure it's a lot. I'm just looking for one. She's not in trouble, but I'd like to keep it that way.
I never worked that area, but I know some who did or do. I'll see what I can find out.
Appreciate it.
What are you making?
Honeymoon pancakes.
How long's the honeymoon? She wondered, as they'd been married for months.
I'm looking at forever.
Nice thought. And thanks in advance for the help. See you, she added, clicking off as she zipped to the curb a block from Asshole Joe's.
She climbed out, calculating. Pizza joint wouldn't be open yet, and neither would the arcade. She might be able to try Gregman's sooner, and she'd get a line on any recent purchases for high-dollar tickets to Giants games. Or better yet, she thought, when she spotted her partner in her puffy purple coat and pink cowboy boots flooding out of the subway stairs with a million others. Eve fell into step beside her.
Good timing.
It was like being held hostage in an airless box with a bunch of refugees. They really need more trains on this line.
Routines, Eve said. Their comfort, habit, patterns. Everybody's got some. Routines, favorite things. I've got a list of Reinholds. I need you to check on tickets, premium tickets for Giants games. That's football.
I know it's football. I like football. Everybody wears those tight pants and has big shoulders.
They're shoulder pads, so that's false vision.
I like it fine.
Gregman's, Eve continued, in Reinhold's old neighborhood, sells pistachio floats.
Yuck! I draw the line at green floats, but I got it.
I've got Charles doing a reach out for an LC named Lucille. She reputedly broke Reinhold's cherry, as well as giving him and his pals discount rates on BJ's. Reinhold and Asshole Joe here may still use her from time to time. Then there's Jangles, an arcade in Times Square, and some gamer named Bruno who beat Reinhold in a tournament. A beer joint nearby called Tap It.
How'd we miss all that?
We didn't, Eve said, as she pulled out her badge for Joe's building security plate. It's called follow-up. Mal remembered a little more when I tried the routine angle. Meanwhile, Rourke's working the money angle.
So's McNabb. That and the ID. It's slow going, Dallas.
We'll be pushing it, and we'll be pushing the location. He's here somewhere. In someplace plush, you bet your ass. She held her badge for a scan. Lieutenant Dallas, Detective Peabody, we're here to talk to Joe Klein.
ID verified. Mr. Klein has not cleared you for entry. Authorization is required.
Eve rolled her shoulders, smiled fiercely. A workout, a swim, a new angle, and now busting electronic chops. Not a bad start to the morning.
Listen, you worthless piece of e-crap, she began.
Chapter 18.
After her satisfying smackdown of an electronic moron, Eve rode the elevator up to 7 with Peabody. Nicer, tighter building than, say, his friend Mal's, she observed. He sells insurance, right?
Uncle's firm, Peabody confirmed. Insurance sales producer. It's a mid-sized operation, pretty solid. From my scan of his financials, he's good at it, and he likes to spend those bonuses and commissions. Nest egg isn't a term he considers.
Where do terms like that come from? If you leave an egg in a nest, it either hatches or it doesn't. If it hatches, it flies or crawls away, right? If it doesn't, you've got some stupid egg, and what good is that?
Exactly.
Eve strode off the elevator, aimed for 707. Interesting, she noted, that Joe had installed a palm plate and a cam. Not standard, as the other apartments on the floor didn't have them. Which either made him more security conscious than his neighbors, or more into status. Maybe both. She pressed the buzzer, unsurprised with the electronic greeting. Status, primarily, she decided, and overkill in a building like this one.
Mr. Klein is currently on Do Not Disturb. You're welcome to leave your name and a message.
It's Lieutenant Dallas, NYPSD. She held up her badge for the routine scan. And my message is you're going to disturb him. We're here on police business, and don't even think about giving me the runaround, or I will assume that Mr. Klein is either harboring a murder suspect or being held by same against his will. That assumption will lead me to circumvent the security of this apartment and enter.
One moment.
Good one, Peabody commended. Though technically we'd need probable cause rather than assumptions.
I don't get technical with technology.
Mr. Klein will be with you directly, Lieutenant Dallas, NYPSD.
Fine. Directly took a couple minutes. Eve saw the reason for the short delay when asshole Joe opened the door. They'd obviously disturbed his beauty sleep. His eyes, an eerie and likely enhanced green, still looked slumberous, and there was a slight sleep crease denting his right cheek. He wore loose black pants and a biceps-bearing tee. His feet were bare.
Hey, detective.
He shot a wide salesman smile at Peabody.
Sorry for the wait. I had a late night.
He shifted his gaze, gave Eve what she assumed he thought was a flattering, sure, I'd do you study.
My partner, Lieutenant Dallas, we'd like to come in and talk with you.
Sure, but right now?
Smile still in place, he lifted his hands, his shoulders.
It's not a good time. I've got company. If you know what I mean.
He actually winked. Eve just stared him down until he shrugged.
I guess it's fine. She's out for the count. Like I said, long night.
He stepped back into an obsessively trendy living area that screamed, single guy looking for action. Lots of glass, metal, fake black leather, enormous entertainment screen with an open front cabinet below loaded with discs. A small bar, black and silver, outfitted with various glassware, ruled a corner. Photos and pencil sketches of nude females decorated the walls. Scattered over the floor were a pair of high, hot pink heels, a black skirt the width of a placemat, and what looked to be an animal print thong.
Wasn't expecting company.
With an easy laugh, he scooped up the female debris, tossed it all on a chair.
So, I need coffee. You want?
No, thanks.
I gotta jumpstart the brain cells.
After tapping his temple, He walked behind the bar. Eve heard the faint beep, deduced he had a mini auto chef built into it.
So, what can I do for you, ladies?
Eve swallowed the ladies. He just wasn't worth it. You're aware by now that Jerry Reinhold has killed 4 people. Joe's eyebrows drew together in a frown as he shook his head.
I'm no lawyer, but I think you need some serious proof to make that stick.
His fingerprints and DNA all over the murder weapons and the crime scenes are a pretty good start. Seeing him on the security disks of the banks where he transferred his parents' funds pick up on that, and having him identified by several eyewitnesses selling valuables from his parents' apartment kick in, too.
Okay, I know it looks bad.
He took a sip of coffee from an oversized black-and-white striped cup.
God, that's good. Are you sure you don't want to hit?
Positive.
Okay.
The thing is, he continued as he skirted the bar, gestured to the long, low sofa, I've known Jerry for years. He took a seat in the chair without women's clothing, slid down, kicked out his legs. A man at his ease.
It's really hard to process he might have tripped out and killed somebody.
His parents, his ex-girlfriend, and his former computer science teacher would disagree with you if they weren't dead.
Harsh.
He drank more coffee, crossed his ankles.
I'm just holding out that there's been a mistake.
Have you had contact with Jerry since last Thursday night? He shifted in his chair.
No. And, full disclosure, I did try to tag him. Just to hear his side of things, you know. Maybe he's just freaked. Who wouldn't be? And keeping it real down low.
Are you just that stupid? Eve wondered.
Come on. No call for that.
Irritation flicked briefly over his face. Here, then gone.
Maybe somebody framed him. Maybe tried to kill him, too, so he's hiding out. He could be dead himself. Or, okay, maybe he went totally whack and did all this. There's nothing I can do about it.
He's working his way down a list, Joe. You could be next. He laughed, shooting his legs out again, tossing his head back.
Please! NPW, no possible way! Lady
Lieutenant, Eve corrected with a whiplash in her voice. The homicide lieutenant who waded through Jerry Reinhold's parents' blood 2 days ago, who stood over the body of Lori Nucho that same night and over the tortured body of Edie Farnsworth the day after.
Well, sure. I'm really sorry about all that, but there's nothing to laugh at here.
He beat, stabbed, bludgeoned, strangled, smothered human beings. You should start wondering what he's got in store for you. The smile had vanished, but he waved a casually dismissive hand.
He's got no reason to hurt me. We're bros.
You won in Vegas. He lost. And you rubbed his face in it. That's more than enough for him.
Hell, Jerry's not like that. He knows I was just yanking. Plus, I bought everybody a round of drinks.
Joe. Peabody tried a voice of reason. Why don't you let us put you under protection just for a few days?
No can do. How am I supposed to score with cops looking over my shoulder? It's one thing for Mal and Dave to weenie out on it. They don't see the kind of action I do. And hell,
he made a dismissive sound.
I can handle Jerry. Been doing it for years.
Not this, Jerry, Eve said, but saw they hadn't made a dent. Joe just waved a hand again.
Listen, I'm going to tap my latest, then we're going to have some breakfast. I'm putting in a couple hours' work later,
Then I've got another frosty lady to entertain tonight, and that's before I put in some time at the old homestead tomorrow for tea day. Schedule's tight and I'm covered, but hey, if I hear from Jerry, I'll let you know. Done, Eve pushed to her feet. Your choice. Does he now, or has he ever had the code and keys for this apartment? No way. Nobody but me has them. I like my privacy. Watch your back today, Joe. That comes from the person who'll be standing over your corpse if you don't. Eve caught his smirk just as she turned to walk out and just kept going.
Do you think he'll contact us if he hears from Reinhold? Peabody wondered.
50-50. I'd say it depends on his mood at the time.
He really is asshole Joe.
Yeah. As they rode down in the elevator, Peabody considered.
Reinhold wouldn't be able to access the apartment unless Joe lets him in. Even getting into the building's a little tougher than what he's done before. He could do that, but the apartment's secure. If Joe goes into work, he'll be in an office with other people. Then he'll be with some woman stupid enough to give him the time of day. He's about as safe as we can make him without forcing protection on him.
I've stretched it to put officers on people who want it. I can't stretch it for someone who doesn't. She stepped outside, took a breath of cool, damp air. No rain yet, damn it. We're going into Central. You work the angles I gave you. I'm working the map and real estate. He'd want better than this. She turned to study Joe's building. If for no more reason than his bro can afford this. He's got that shit pile of money now, and he's looking for the shine.
He'd need to snag a shiny place and furnish it, Peabody pointed out.
Yeah. Eve mulled it over as they walked back to the car. High end there, too. He'd go for the trend, like asshole Joe. Nothing classic, nothing antique, shine, shine. We'll check that out. He'd need a few key pieces fast. Swank hotel suite's still possible, so we keep hitting that. But the fucker's nearby.
When Eve walked into the bullpen, she saw the tie gag hadn't gotten old. Now Detective Carmichael wore one. She'd gone for a herd of purple prancing horses over a field of virulent green. Everyone, including uniforms, who sat at desks, in cubes, or milled around, wore sunshades. Peabody pulled her own rainbow lenses out of a pocket, jabbed them on as she went to her desk. She shot Eve a toothy smile, then got down to work. No harm in letting it play out, Eve decided, then headed to her office. She hit the auto chef for coffee, then brought up the map she'd generated. Somewhere inside the area she'd triangulated, or no more than a 6-block perimeter, she decided, outside. That would be her starting point. She adjusted the map, highlighted her target area. Computer, search and list all luxury hotels, all luxury apartment buildings, condos, or rental homes within highlighted area.
Acknowledged. Working.
Secondary task, search and list all high-end furniture stores, specializing contemporary, trendy, just the borough of Manhattan for now. She paced as the computer acknowledged. Next task, search and list any and all gourmet markets that deliver within highlighted area. He had the droid, she thought, and he could send it out to shop, but it was worth a shot.
Initial task complete. Results on screen.
Eve looked at the list, dragged her hands through her hair at the number to wade through. Okay, there has to be a way to refine that. She'd spread herself thin with assigning men to protective details.
And it would take a squad of cops hours, if not days, to check with every single location. His own place, she thought. Privacy, status, less chance of being nailed by security or a nosy desk clerk, even with the change in looks. Computer, save hotel list, but separate. She'd scrape up a uniform, put him on a link, have him contact the hotels, again, but her gut said he'd rent his own space now.
Secondary task complete. Result on screen. Split with residential locations.
Eve scowled at the list. I said Manhattan only.
Affirmative. Results listed are for Manhattan only.
Shit. This time she pulled at her hair.
Some results are specialty outlets,
the computer continued.
Some deal only or primarily with one type of item. Lamps, tables, chairs.
Okay, I get it. Would he do that? She wondered. Would a guy take that kind of time, going to a lamp store, a table store? I don't think so, but... She stepped out into the bullpen briefly.
Baxter, my office!
She circled back, paced. Foot hurts. Probably wouldn't walk around the city. Use websites, the link. Order that way. Pay electronically. If he...
Yeah, boss?
Baxter flipped off his shades, hooked them in his breast pocket.
You've got pretty swank digs, right?
His grin spread.
I do what I can.
I've seen your ride. Shiny penis metaphor.
Hey!
It is what it is. Eyeing him, she eased down a hip on her desk.
You got the slick wardrobe, the slick ride, so you've got slick digs and sexy furnishings, right?
I like looking good, living good.
What's the deal, LT?
Reinhold, I figure he's got to be getting or already has a place of his own, something swank, and I'm working on it. But when you get a swank place, you need to furnish it. He'd go for trendy, high-end. He'd like paying a premium. It'll make him feel superior. My list here has all these specialty shops.
Taking a look at the screen himself, Baxter nodded.
Yeah, city lights. I got my bedroom lamps there. And urban spaces. I got my couch, a couple of chairs, and a floor cabinet there.
So shit. Guys did spend all that time and effort.
How long did it take you to furnish your digs?
Who says I'm done?
He smiled again.
To get it where I want it, for now anyway. 6-7 months.
Thinking back, she remembered furnishing her apartment in about a day and a half. He's not that patient.
Or, she calculated, as fussy or discerning as Baxter.
He wants it now, all of it.
Then he needs to go to more full service, at least for the bulk.
He's got a bum foot, so I figure he's going to check out his options online.
Well, that opens the world. But if he really wants it now, he'd stick local.
Baxter scanned the screen again.
He'd look for a place with same-day delivery, maybe. Or delivery within 24. Like that.
I'm thinking, yeah. Okay, cut out the specialty shops for now. Go full service. Stick local. Quick delivery. Thanks.
Anytime.
He slipped his shades back on. Strolled out. She started making contacts herself. Switching from full service furnishings, a much smaller list, to gourmet markets when the computer spat that out. Then back again. She juggled in conversations with building security and/or management, and had batted zero when Peabody poked in.
I hit on the pizza.
Her gradually going pissy mood jumped high.
Jesus, for a pie? Where is he?
Not that big a hit, but Vinny sold a droid matching the description of ours, the pie, last night. It's a different guy on the counter now, but the manager checked the discs for me. I want a copy. Already sent and copied. Peabody handed it over. Did he call in the order? No, the droid came in and ordered. What time did the droid get the pizza? Timestamps 23:21 on the order. Nighttime hungries, Eve mused. Check on cabs, drop-offs, pickups at the pizzeria. Already got that in. Eve ordered the pizzeria onto the map. I'm betting no cab, but if I'm wrong, we got really lucky. Frowning at the map, she picked up the closest subway stations. Mass transit's possible, but still probably not. Not that he'd have a problem sending the droid on a mile hike to get a pizza, but I'm going with reasonable walking distance. You want pizza after 11 at night. You don't want to wait a damn hour or more. Routines, she thought aloud again. Habits, favorites. He's got a place close by what he knows. No other way. It justified the time she'd spent on the damn map and real estate, furniture. Okay, I'm going to generate another map, using the pizza joint as the bullseye. Try a 10-block perimeter around it. It's going to cut the options down more. And I want pictures of the morph and of the stolen droid at every shop in this sector, every diner, market, restaurant, glide cart, street vendor. I want them in the hands of every beat cop, street LC, sidewalk sleeper, and illegals dealer. That'll be a trick. I'll squeeze a couple thousand out of the budget for a reward. Information leading to capture. And yeah, look pained, because we're going to get a few million bogus sightings, but Reinhold's here. And even saying he's got the plushest of plush new digs, he's going to want to get out and about. He has to live, right? And he's damn well going to go after his next target sooner rather than later. Local clinics, too, in case he hits one for more pain meds. Get it done. Getting it done. Eve turned back to the screen. Okay, you bastard. Let's figure this out. An hour into it, she got up for more coffee. As she lifted the mug, she glanced toward her skinny window. It was pouring outside. All right! She pumped a fist in the air. Let's go, rain! She executed a quick, happy boogie, did a spin, and spotted Rourke in her doorway. I had no idea you were so fond of inclement weather. Rain, think about it. Big, pounding rain. No outside ceremony. They have to move it inside. And that matters? To me, it's... She wiggled her shoulders, winced. Weird doing it out there, in front of the whole damn city. Inside, it's cops and some politicians. And media. Yeah, you can't get around that. But it's more, I don't know, contained. Are you here to work with Feeny? I have been, a bit. There's something... She leaped like a panther. What? What something? I don't have it yet. We don't, he corrected. But there's something in the data we've been able to regenerate on one of the wiped drives. I think your Ms. Farnsworth wound some sort of code within the codes. I think she tried to leave us some clues as best she could. If the drive hadn't been wiped, we'd have an easier time deciphering, but we're still working piecemeal. But it's something. It is, yes, definitely something. We'll get back to it. Get back? Despite the heroic rain, you've just about got time to change before we're due, wherever we're due to be. Shit! She checked her wrist unit. Shit! As you're not currently slapping Reinhold in restraints, we're stuck with this. So be a good girl and get into that oddly alluring uniform. Shit, she said again. Give me... She snagged her signaling link. Dallas. Lieutenant. Kyung, media liaison, gave her his excellent smile. I wanted to inform you
due to the unfortunate weather, we're moving the medal ceremony indoors to Auditorium A, West Wing, Sector 6, Level 2.
Okay. Rourke's with me now. I'll pass it on.
Excellent. I'll see you shortly, Lieutenant, and many congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. She clicked off. Give me 15, she said to Rourke, and meet me at the downglide.
That's about all you have.
He made himself comfortable at her desk with his PPC as she dashed out. She cut through the bullpen, shook her head at Peabody, and bolted straight into the locker room. Changed, she fit her uniform hat on her head, gave herself a critical study.
Okay, squared away. And when this was done, she'd change back and get the hell to work again. Deliberately avoiding the bullpen and any possible questions, comments, ragging, she left by the side door. She beat Rourke to the glide by about 30 seconds and watched him walk toward her, the glint in his eye.
Don't get any ideas, Ace.
Too late. You look sexily official.
He took her hand, and when she realized he intended to lift it, kiss it, she snatched it back.
Come on!
We'll save it all for later, then. He stepped on the glide with her.
They'll make speeches, especially the mayor, she warned him.
I'm aware. After that, it's a little more blah blah. Presentation, photo op, done.
You could have sent a rep. Nobody would have blinked if you'd done that, considering you're managing most of the universe.
It's good you didn't.
It matters you didn't.
That would have been ungrateful.
And I'm not ungrateful. And when this gets out, there are countless cops in the universe you're so fond of gifting to me who are going to be well buggered. And that's a bit of a plus for me, isn't it?
Hadn't thought of that.
Oh, well, I have.
Still, I'll need to duck out quickly, as I'd like to be home to greet the family. And don't worry, Lieutenant, he added. I'll get back to work on this business as soon as I've settled them in.
If we can nail him today, he won't have time. Not that I can see, to kill anyone else.
And hell, easier to shove in the cranberry sauce when I'm not thinking about the bastard.
Agreed altogether.
He was right about being grateful for the acknowledgement from the department, she thought. And she wasn't ungrateful for the family coming over from Ireland. Thinking that, she told him,
either way, I'll carve out as much time as I can to, you know, be home.
He trailed his fingers down her arm.
Something else to be thankful for.
A lot of that going around. After hopping off on level 2, she aimed toward Sector 6. This should take about 30, maybe a little more because the mayor can't shut up. I'm heading right up to change after.
That's a pity.
I'm working on location, using a pizza joint as the hinge. He had the droid pick up a pie last night.
Interesting.
And I'm figuring he's got to have furniture. So I'm checking outlets there. High-end, trendy, that's my sense. And I'm on condos, apartments, townhouses. Something's gonna hit.
Circling, Rourke thought again. But it seemed her circling was getting smaller and tighter.
You'll bag him, Lieutenant. I have every faith.
Sooner's better.
Two uniforms flanked the double doors of Auditorium A, and they snapped to attention. Kyung, tall and lean in his meticulous charcoal suit, stepped forward to intercept her.
Lieutenant, Rourke, I'll escort you around to the back staging area.
Fine.
A pity about the rain, he said as they walked. The steps of Central provide such a fine and dignified visual.
Yeah, too bad.
He smiled down at her, humor lively in his eyes.
I'm sure it's a disappointment to you both. The mayor will speak first.
Chief Tibble will follow with his remarks. Then your commander will say a few words. Rourke will be presented first. A few remarks after the presentation and the photos are appreciated.
Certainly.
Then you'll be presented, Lieutenant.
Got it.
The presentations will be followed by a short reception. She stopped dead.
What?
At the mayor's request, he told her. More photo ops, some quick interviews.
Is the mayor aware I'm neck deep in tracking a killer already responsible for 4 bodies?
He is, as I am. 10 minutes, Kyung promised. Less if I can manage it. I will get you out and away, my word on it. She scowled, then reminded herself Kyung wasn't an asshole.
10. Tops.
Done. Kyung pulled open the door to the staging area at the back of the auditorium. Already too many people, she thought, tripping straight over to Cranky. The mayor, the entourage, Tibble, a couple of uniforms, Whitney, and a couple of Trina types bustling around, dabbing crap on faces or fiddling with hair. When one aimed for her, Eve just bared her teeth. Touch me with any of that, you'll be eating it. Tibble stepped over, shook hands with Eve, then Rourke.
This is very well deserved on both counts. I'll speak to this in my remarks, but I wanted to say to you personally, the NYPSD and the City of New York are fortunate to have you as one of their own, Lieutenant.
Thank you, sir.
And you, he said to Rourke. We're grateful for the time, effort, and expertise you contribute.
You're more than welcome for it.
And I think it's safe to say that the time spent on acknowledgments such as this, however well earned, is something you'd both rather devote to work. But it's important for the department and the city to make the acknowledgment.
Understood, sir, and appreciated.
Appreciated more, I expect, if we keep it brief.
He gave them a nod, stepped off, had a word with Kyung. Even as the mayor spotted them, which Eve knew could mean an endless blather, Kyung gently tapped his shoulder, gestured toward the door leading to the auditorium stage.
Here we go, Eve murmured.
They filed out. When she faced the auditorium, Eve had to order herself not to gape. Not only was every seat filled, but people stood in the back, along the side walls. She'd expected to see Nadine. No crime beat reporter would miss the moment. She hadn't expected Mavis, Leonardo, even the baby. Who the hell told them? She spotted her entire division. Mira, Feeney, McNabb. Jesus, she thought, who was chasing bad guys? And there, Charles, Morris, Cairo, Rio. She watched Jamie Lingstrom slide in the doors. Feeney's godson, an E-ace who wanted to be a cop, had longer hair than the last time she'd seen him.
It's the family, Rourke said quietly.
What?
The family. They're here.
She followed his gaze, found his Aunt Sinead, his uncles, grandmother, cousins, and God knew, and Somerset. He'd arranged it, Eve realized, letting Rourke think they were coming in later, but bringing them for this. For pride. For family. Hell, it did matter, she thought when she saw Sinead beaming. All of it mattered. She started to say something to Rourke as the mayor approached the podium, then spotted another face in the crowd. Nixie Swisher. Face sober, eyes steady. She didn't smile, just continued to give Eve the serious, even stare. In the stare, Eve read something she hadn't considered. This was for her, too. For Nixie. For all the victims, all the survivors, for every one of the dead she'd ever stood for or would stand for. So it mattered. All of it mattered. Chapter 19. It took too long, had too many words, far too many cameras. She could tune some of that out. The speeches, the media, the politics didn't count, not in the long run. But she allowed herself to touch her fingertips, just the slightest brush, to Rourke's, as Whitney called him up. What mattered was the sheen of pride in Sinead's eyes, and yeah, even the glint of it in Somerset's. The unmistakable satisfaction on Feeney's face, the unified acknowledgement from her division, the acceptance by the people in her world for the man who meant everything. "It's my privilege to present to you the New York City Police and Security Department's highest civilian honor, with gratitude for your invaluable assistance, your contribution, and your valor. You hold no badge, you have no sworn duty, and yet you have given your time, resources, and skills. You have risked and incurred physical harm in the pursuit of justice for the people of New York. Today, we thank you, and we honor you for that contribution." Did it surprise him that they stood for him? Eve wondered. The uniforms, the detectives, the brass, the rank and file, and the bosses of NYPSD. He was so accustomed to power, to position, to holding a room of people in the palm of his hand. But yes, she thought, it surprised him when they all rose to their feet. And she had no doubt he considered the irony of it all. The Dublin street rat, the slick and slippery thief who'd spent most of his life outwitting and evading cops, now had them standing for him. "I thank you all for this honor. But it's been my privilege to work with New York's very finest, to come to know the men and women who serve, and more, to come to understand their dedication, their courage, and their sacrifice. You call it duty, but from what I've seen, it's more than that. It's who and what you are. I'm grateful to have any part of that." When he stepped back, Eve broke her dignified cop face long enough to grin at him as he stood with the brass for the quick photos. "Nice," she murmured when he stepped back beside her. So it was. "The room would enjoy it if you kissed me now." "No." She might have laughed, but she understood he was perfectly serious. Firm on that. She put the dignified face back in place as Whitney began to speak again. "We take an oath to protect and serve," Whitney began. "Every cop takes that oath, accepts that duty. A good cop does more than accept duty, but lives it. Lieutenant Eve Dallas is a good cop. Today she receives the NYPSD's Medal of Honor, the highest honor given. It is never given lightly. The certification specifically addresses the Red Horse investigation, where under the lieutenant's lead, through her dogged pursuit, her clear-eyed leadership and her keen skill, Lewis Calloway and Gina McMillan were identified, apprehended, and will face trial for mass murder and domestic terrorism. Applause rippled through the auditorium at that. Eve was tempted to join in, to applaud justice, but knew better. "This successful investigation saved countless lives," Whitney continued, "but it doesn't tell the whole story. Throughout her career, from her very beginnings in uniform,
Lieutenant Dallas has displayed the skill, the dedication, and the valor that merit this honor. For that, for the dozen years, for all the cases, all the risks, the sacrifices, for justice served, it's my professional and personal pleasure to award the Medal of Honor to Lieutenant Eve Dallas. A good cop. It was those three words that got her. A good cop. For her, that was the highest accolade, the most important tribute she could earn. She had to fight back the emotion that flooded through her. Good cops didn't choke up as she stepped forward. Thank you, sir. Not this time. He pinned the medal on her, shook her hand. Thank you, Lieutenant, for your exemplary service. He nearly did her in by stepping back, saluting. She could take a minute, while the crowd stood and applauded, take a minute to pull herself together and remember what she'd planned to say. Except she couldn't remember a damn thing. Okay, she managed, hoping that would settle everyone down, including herself. But they just kept going. She glanced toward Kyung for help, but he only gave her a smile, an elegant shrug. Okay, she said again, and as she took another breath, spotted Nixie again. The young girl stood on her chair so she could see, smiling now. Kevin, the boy she'd be raised with, stood on the chair beside her. Richard and Elizabeth flanked them. And they were all a part of this, she thought. Richard and Elizabeth, who'd lost their daughter. Kevin, whose junky mother had deserted him. Nixie, whose entire family had been slaughtered. And Jamie in the back of the room. Once a grieving and defiant kid determined to avenge his sister's murder. All of them. And so many more. Okay, she said a third time. Okay, thanks. I'm honored and grateful to be awarded this distinction. I'm honored to be part of the NYPSD and to work with so many good cops. To be commanded by one. To have been trained by one. To partner with one. To head a department with so many really good cops. And to have the brain and the canniness, I guess, of a civilian who'd make a pretty good cop himself if he wasn't so opposed to it. That got enough of a laugh to settle her down. This distinction is theirs as much as mine. Probably more. You don't close cases without someone having your back or trusting the cop or the civilian going through the door with you. This is for all of us. And it's for every victim we've stood for or will stand for. For every survivor we work to find answers for. They're what count. They're why we're here. That's it. Thank God, she thought, even as she was angled for photos, as applause rang out. Thank God that was over. They wanted more photos of her with Rourke, and despite her instinct to shake him off, he took her hand and held it. Well said, Lieutenant. I was supposed to say something else, but I forgot what it was. He laughed, squeezed her hand. And I'm not permitted to kiss you, even after that. Forget it. She got through more blah blah with the mayor, more handshakes, a few more photos. Then Kyung, in his delicate way, extracted them. I realize you have very little time, Lieutenant, but there are a couple of people who'd very much like a moment. He led her off stage, gestured to where Nixie waited. Hey, kid.
You look different wearing that.
I feel different wearing this. A little weird.
We're coming to your house tomorrow, after the parade.
That's what I hear.
There'll be lots of kids. We saw Somerset, and he said.
Yeah.
Eve glanced over, saw Rourke embrace his aunt, while a herd of kids, various ages, flocked around.
He's right.
I'm supposed to talk to you mostly tomorrow, when you're not so busy, but...
Go ahead.
That laser look came back, straight into Eve's eyes.
You said it was for all of us. My mom and my dad and my brother and my friend. And everyone.
That's right.
Then can I touch it?
Sure.
Eve crouched down, watched Nixie's face. Serious blue eyes, soft cheeks, stubborn little mouth, as the girl handled the medal. Then Nixie looked up.
It's important.
It's important.
She smiled then, and that too adult seriousness flicked away from her face.
I have a surprise for you.
What is it?
Nixie rolled her eyes.
A surprise! You can see it tomorrow when we come for Thanksgiving. I'm going to say congratulations to Rourke, then we have to go.
Are you looking for a bad guy now?
Yeah, I am.
Did he kill somebody?
Yeah, he did.
Then you have to catch him.
Simple as that, Eve thought. And maybe, on some level, it was.
That's the plan.
I'll see you tomorrow.
And there's our Eve.
Sinead enfolded her in a hard, swaying hug. Soft skin, Eve thought. Soft hair, strong arms. It was weird, this hard, loving embrace, Eve decided. Like wearing the uniform was weird. Not bad, just different.
Oh, it's good to see you.
Hands on Eve's shoulders, Sinead drew back, her green eyes damp, her smile brilliant.
And so stalwart you are in your uniform. We won't be keeping you. Somerset told us you were very busy on an investigation, but we so wanted to come and see you and our Rourke honored. It meant so much to us, Eve. So much to all of us.
It meant a lot to him when he saw you.
His mother would be so proud. So I've her pride and my own to give to both of you. And I'll be after getting a copy of one of those photos of the two of you. Ah, this was such a thrill for all of us. I have to let you go, as if I don't, the whole family will swarm you. We'll wait till you're home to do that, then.
With a laugh, Sinead kissed Eve's cheek. She got caught a couple more times before Kyung touched her arm.
Excuse me, Lieutenant, you're needed over here for a moment.
I'm extracting you, he murmured near her ear as he steered her away.
Great. Good.
Rourke assures me he can handle his own extraction, and I imagine he does so often.
Yeah, he's slippery.
You did very, very well, he said, maneuvering her back into the staging area, then through.
You too. You got me out in under 10. I can take it from here.
Then I'll go back and have some cake.
That hitched her exit stride.
There was cake?
You wanted out in 10.
Yeah, she sighed. Talk about sacrifices. But she hopped a glide and headed back to the locker room to change. She hung up her uniform, put the medal in its case, then wondered what she should do with it. Her office for now, she decided. She should probably take it home, put it away there. She tucked it under her arm, stepped back out through the bullpen. Her men rose, which would have put her right back to choked if they hadn't all been wearing sunshades.
Carmichael had put the crazy horse tie back on. So the ovation made her laugh and put her right back where she wanted to be.
Get back to work, you idiots.
We saved you some cake, Peabody told her.
Seriously? The idea of so much as a crumb getting past her men was as shocking as a stunner blast.
In your office.
I take the idiots back.
Get to work anyway.
She walked into her office, touched and still surprised to see the neat piece of cake on a small disposable plate on her desk. She stowed the metal in a drawer, programmed coffee. And sitting at her desk, broke off a corner of the cake and got back to work herself. 55 minutes, she thought. Longer than she'd hoped. But still, the whole thing had taken under an hour. And what, she wondered, had Reinhold been up to for the last 55 minutes? He had a plan. No reason he could see why it wouldn't work. And he'd have some fun with it. Plus, changing things up would save him some legwork. His foot still hurt like a bitch. He sent the droid out with a shopping list and instructions to buy each item at a different shop. And while he had the apartment to himself, he blasted music as he limped through, speculating on where to set the stage. The living area. Sure, the second bedroom was big enough, but he liked having the easy access to the kitchen and the dining room. It made more sense, he thought, since he was having company for Thanksgiving dinner. It would be his most daring kill, and he'd do it all in his own space. Good practice for when he started selling his services, he decided. Body disposal could be an option he needed to offer clients, after all. Sometimes people like the Mafia or the CIA or whatever didn't want bodies found. He'd read shit about that. The cops didn't have a clue where he was. How could they? Or now, who he was. In his own place, undisturbed, he could take all the time he wanted with his selection. No. Prey. He liked that term. They, all of them, were prey. And he was, codename, Reaper. He really liked it. Reaper. Death for sale. Anytime, anywhere. Terms to be negotiated. Something like that, he decided. When the droid got back, they'd set the place up just the way he wanted. Then contact, lure, trap, snap, snap. He'd have all night, through the next day, to do his work, while people were sitting around pretending friends and family menace single happy shit. He could stretch it out another night if he wanted. If he got bored, he'd end it. Then, between him and the droid, they'd take care of the body disposal.
I have the best job in the world, he shouted over the music,
then dancing, wincing a little, out to the terrace. For the hell of it, he yanked down his pants and mooned New York. It seriously cracked him up. He went back in, popped another pain pill, got a beer. It was great to be able to drink when he wanted, eat when he wanted, do whatever he wanted. All of his life, people had held him down, held him back, fucked with him. Now he was the one doing the fucking. And he was never gonna stop.
Found myself, Ma!
He cackled it. And today, oh yeah, I am a man. He turned as the door opened and the droid carted in a big box. He saw the droid's mouth move but couldn't make out the words.
What?
Jesus.
Music off! What?
Sir, I was unable to purchase and carry all the items in one trip. Well, fuck. Idiot. Maybe he'd spring for another droid. Female, he considered. One with sex options.
Go back and get the rest. I want to get started.
Yes, sir. Where do you want these items? Just put the whole box down there. Reinhold pointed to the center of the living area.
And go get the rest. Make it fast, asshole.
Yes, sir. I'll return shortly.
You'd better.
Excited, Reinhold sat on the floor and pulled things out of the box. More rope, more tape, a carving set. He smiled at the shining blade, at the long prongs of the fork.
Perfect for a turkey.
Or whatever you wanted to slice up.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
He pulled out the portable saw, flicked the switch, and grinned as the twin toothy blades whirred.
Oh, yeah! We're gonna have the best Thanksgiving ever!
He set the saw down, laid flat on his back, and laughed like a loon. He honestly, sincerely, had never been happier in his life.
Eve circled, bisected, intersected, detoured, expanded, contracted. She'd spent more time on the link in an afternoon than she normally did in a month, and couldn't find him.
Peabody poked her head in the door, correctly gauged her lieutenant's mood. She might have preferred just slinking off again, but ordered herself to woman up.
Dallas. Do you know how many superiors, managers, landlords, owners, and clerks start their stupid holiday a day early?
Not exactly.
All of them are damn near.